Well, good morning again. If you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah, chapter 1. If you've been in Wednesday night church recently, we've been going through this book. And so we're not going to go into as great a detail. We're actually just going to cover this entire book in just a couple of lessons. But it's one of my favorite books of the Bible. It's just really interesting, really unique. And so I hope it'll be a good study. Jonah, chapter 1. And if you'll begin reading with me in verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Let's pray once more. Dear Lord, I thank you that you brought us all here today. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to worship you, Lord, as you do every day of our lives. But Lord, I pray that our attention would be solely focused on you this morning and on your word. Lord, I pray that you would just teach us, guide us, and instruct us. Lord, help us to be obedient servants. Lord, help us to be diligent students of your word. Lord, I pray that you would bless your word this morning. Just use your Holy Spirit to enlighten our eyes and, Lord, make our thoughts clear. And I pray that you would bless your word. And I pray all this in Jesus' name, amen. Every one of us have been disciplined in one way or another, whether it was as a child, if you got spankings, or as you grew older, that kind of transitions from your parents to the Lord. I mean, your parents probably disciplined you in one way or another, and that's part of a parent's job, is to instruct and teach and discipline their children, and probably most of us have experienced that. We notice discipline and disciple, those two words are very closely related. They're from the same root, as you could guess. And there's a twofold meaning. Because a disciple of the Lord is one who lives a disciplined life, but a disciple is also one who is disciplined by the Lord because it's his child. And sometimes parents do have to discipline their children. Sometimes, and in the case of us, a lot of times we had to be disciplined. And if we don't learn those lessons when we're younger, when we get older, those lessons become that much harder. And there's a prophet here, a disciple of the Lord, but he was going to have to be disciplined by the Lord. And sin and disobedience will always lead to God's discipline. But God disciplines because he loves. And this morning we're going to see five different choices from Jonah 1, verses 1 through 17. Five different choices. And so then, first of all, we're going to look at God's choice of Jonah. In verses 1 and 2, we read that God chose Jonah, the son of Amittai, to go down to Nineveh and preach repentance. Their wickedness had become so great, so really just an eyesore in God's sight, that he was going to have to destroy the city. But he didn't want to destroy them without a warning. And so he sent Jonah and said, Jonah, you're to go to this city. Now, Nineveh was the capital of this nation of Assyria. Assyria was Israel's worst enemy and most brutal enemy. They prided themselves on their brutality, their cruelty, and warfare. And Nineveh is the capital. I mean, these people, it's an understatement to say they're not nice. They're absolutely brutal. And so Jonah, when he gets this call, what it sounds like is a one-way ticket. He's a Jew. He's hated by the Assyrians. So he's called to go to Nineveh. And for all he knows, he's not coming back. And Jonah gets this call, but he doesn't want to go. In 2 Kings 15, you find that they've been this threat to Israel for many, many years. And so Jonah, he doesn't want to go. He does not want to obey. And that's ironic because the office of prophet was not a safe one. I mean, that was, in this time, probably the most dangerous job you could have. I mean, nobody liked a prophet who preached God's word. But Jonah, he had a comfort zone. He had been used to being in and among God's people. And King Jeroboam II, he ministered to him, he preached to him. And so he had a comfort zone. He didn't want to go to a new far country, a worse country, new problems, new issues. And you wonder, why did God make this choice of Jonah? I mean, Amos and Nahum, they prophesied at the same time. They were faithful servants. Why couldn't they have been sent? But yet God chose Jonah, and Jonah was the one to go. But Jonah, he didn't want to obey, and he's unsurrendered to God's will. You see, as soon, in verse 3, as soon as God gives that call, Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish. As soon as he gets this call, he says, no, I'm going to do the exact opposite. But yet the Lord, he chose Jonah because, well, Jonah needed to go, but it was also for God's glory and Jonah's good. And that's why God does everything. It's for his glory, but it's also for our good. And if Jonah had obeyed, it would have been the very best thing for him. And we'll see that he wasn't killed. He was actually able to lead a great revival in Nineveh. But he does not want to go. He does not want to obey. But God had chosen him. And Jonah is a prophet. Maybe we think of him as just a young guy. Maybe this is his first big opportunity, his greatest opportunity. Actually, he's been a prophet at this point for decades. He's not a rookie. He's fulfilled the Lord's mission for a lot of things. And yet the Lord calls him to do this, something that's a great opportunity, bigger than he's ever had. And yet he says, no, I'm not going to do it. And that's the second choice. You see, there's first is God's choice of Jonah, but then there's Jonah's choice against God. Immediately, Jonah rises up and flees from the face of God. He's trying to get away from God's presence. He wanted nothing to do with this call of God. And this wasn't an accident. You see there in verse 3, it says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So see, in the beginning of verse 3, he has already decided to go to Tarshish. He's already decided this. Then he goes to the port town of Joppa to find a ship there. Why did he choose to go to Tarshish? Well, Nineveh was about 500 miles northeast of Israel. Tarshish was about 2,500 miles west. It's on the coast of modern-day Spain. It's about as far as you could go and there still be civilization. So as soon as Jonah gets this call, he says, I'm going as far away as possible. I'm going to Tarshish. That's about the distance from here where we are right now to San Francisco, California. I mean, this is nowhere close to where God wanted him. But Jonah wasn't just running from God's will. He didn't choose to disobey God. He's running from the ministry altogether because he knows when he makes this choice, his career as a prophet's over. He's not just ending his mission. No, he's ending his career, his ministry, any sort of ministry. He's going into retirement, saying, God, I want nothing to do with your mission, your ministry anymore. I'm going to go to the far corner of the earth and live for myself. Oh, we've all made choices like that. We've all made selfish choices, but it's going to affect a lot of people. But Jonah is, in effect, turning in his resignation. Now, reading over this, I was reminded of Andy Griffith episode where Barney's turning in his badge, his bullet, his hat. He's turning in everything. He's just fed up with his job. He's fed up with life. Well, that's where Jonah is right now. He's turning in his resignation. He's saying, God, I don't want anything to do with this anymore. I'm done. This is too much what you're asking. That's just too great for me to do. And it was. I mean, this was mission impossible. Jonah couldn't do this on his own, but the Lord was going to go with him. But instead he went to a far more dangerous place and he totally left God's will. And so God's going to send a storm. Jonah goes down to Joppa. He buys a cruise ticket and he's going to sail away in style. He thinks he's given God the slip, but he hadn't. And God was going to chase after him and he was going to send the storm after him. And so we don't know how long they're sailing. Probably pretty soon this huge, huge violent storm comes up. I mean, wind like you couldn't imagine, rain, lightning. It's violent. And these sailors, these mariners, they've never seen anything like this. They've been on probably hundreds of shipping voyages. I mean, these guys don't go 2,500 miles on their first voyage. I mean, these guys have been doing it a long time. But yet, they've never seen anything in this stretch of 2,500 miles, never seen anything like this storm that has come up. And it's terrifying them. And yet, Jonah, well, he's not terrified at all because he knows there's going to be consequences. You see, Jonah chose this, but he knew he's a prophet of God. He's been a prophet for many years. He knew there was going to be consequences. But as just like a child, he weighed the consequences and said, well, the sin's worth it. And we've all done that. I mean, as a little child, you know, whether it's sticking your fingers in a light socket or hitting your little sibling, I mean, you know the consequences. You know you're going to have consequences for it. But the first time you're told, you obey, right? No, you're told, and what do? Well, you wait till they turn their back. You wait till your parents go into another room where you think they're not watching. You go right back to sticking your fingers in the light socket or hitting your sibling or whatever it is. Well, Jonah, that's what we do so often. That's what Jonah did. He looked at the sin, then he looked at the consequences. He looked at the consequences, or at least what he thought they'd be, then the sin, and he said, well, it's worth it. But it's never worth it. It's never worth it. And it wasn't going to be worth it for Jonah. And he could have never foreseen these consequences that were going to come. But this storm comes up. They're in this huge storm. And, well, he's still in the bottom of the ship. And he's asleep. He's in the VIP cabin with the Do Not Disturb sign over the door. He doesn't want to be disturbed. He's laughing in the face of these sailors, really. He's laughing in the face of God. So there's nothing you can do to bring me back. But he was going to find out that that wasn't true. The Lord was far more powerful than he even realized. And so these sailors, they're terrified above deck. They're pumping water. They're praying. They're on their hands and knees praying to any kind of God they can find out there. They can't figure out why this huge storm has come up, why there is this tempest, these winds, these rains. And the Bible says that their ship was like to be broken at the end of verse 4. So it's not just about to sink. It's not because all the water. I mean, it's literally splitting in two. I mean, their ship is just disintegrating. But they can't figure out why there is such a storm. It's so different from any other storm they've ever had. And so they're bailing water. They're praying. They're doing everything they can. And then they look around and they say, well, where's our passenger? We had a passenger who came on. Did he fall overboard while he was manning the pumps? Is he praying to his God? Well, they can't find him. And you wonder why that was. Well, the captain eventually, he goes down into the bottom of the ship and he wakes up Jonah. And he wasn't nice about it. This is a sailor. He didn't give him the 5-second rule to count to 10. He just shakes him awake and said, what doest thou, O sleeper? What are you thinking? What are you even doing here asleep in the bottom of a ship? Don't you know you're about to die with the rest of us? Like, what are you even thinking? He said, call out to your God, pray to your God. You wonder what Jonah thought of that. I mean, Jonah can't pray right now. Jonah's running from the face of God. He's trying to get away from him. And this man says, pray to your God. You wonder if he just like kneeled down on deck and mumbled or something. I mean, just for a show, but he can't pray to his God. And so they're trying everything they can. And eventually they say, this is supernatural. This isn't a normal storm. Somebody on this ship is the cause of this storm. And so they make a choice to cast lots. And here is where we see the third choice. And that is Jonah is chosen again. Jonah had been chosen the first time by God. And now they cast lots, these sailors cast lots to find out the instigator is, who's the reason for this problem, this huge storm. And Jonah's chosen for the second time. And they look at Jonah, and obviously the interrogation begins. They say, why have you done this? What's going on? What's your nationality? What's your occupation? What is it that has made this storm come up like this? And so he explains that, I'm a prophet. I'm a prophet of Israel. I serve the true God. I fear and honor him. And so he said, the one who made the land and the sea, really the God of everything. And so they start to connect the dots. And so they start thinking, okay, you serve the God of the sea. You're on the sea, and there's this huge storm. So what did you do against this God? And then we read in verse 10, he explains it to them, says, then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now he tells them, and to his credit, he doesn't hide anything. He doesn't try to excuse himself. He doesn't even try to change the story. He just tells the truth. He says, I'm a servant of the true God. He told me to do something, and I ran from it. I wanted nothing to do with it, so I ran as far away as possible. And so now they're beginning to connect everything. And ironically, Nineveh, their main god was Marduk, who was the god of the sea. And God is showing, I am so much more powerful than any Ninevite, than any god over there. If you'd only trust me, if you'd only follow me, there's nothing to be afraid of. But Jonah turned and laughed in God's face, and there was everything to be afraid of. Jonah had reason to be terrified. And so he tells these men, he says, well, I'm the problem. I'm the reason for this issue. And so they say, well, what can we do? How can we fix this storm? What is the only way to satisfy your God's wrath? Now, these men, they couldn't trust Jonah. I mean, they had no idea if what he was going to tell them was the truth. They could only hope that he had a solution. And so he tells them, he says, well, if you'll cast me into the sea, then the sea will be calm. Now, that's really strange. The way for their salvation was for him to die. And he seems so nonchalant about it, so just laid back about it. It seems almost as if he'd rather die than do God's will and say, well, dying and perishing in the sea is better than doing whatever God wants. And that's a crazy line of thinking. But Jonah, he was acting like a crazy man at this point. And so he says, just throw me overboard, throw me into the sea. But they say, no, we don't want to do that. For one reason, they feared this God now. And this man was a servant of this God. So they didn't want to do anything to anger this God. They didn't want to do anything that might hold them responsible. Because if he could turn the sea against them, he could easily destroy any of them. And so they say, no, we don't want to throw you overboard. No, you're a great passenger. We want you on board. And so they say, no, we're not going to throw you overboard. Instead, they get out the oars and start rowing harder than ever, trying to do anything just to get this to land. But the further they dig their oars into the sea, the harder they try, the harder it gets, and the storm just gets more and more violent. And they start doing anything they can. They start throwing the wares. This is their trading goods. This is the way they were going to make money when they got to port. They start throwing all that off into the sea. They're doing anything they can to have any chance of survival. But throwing the wares out wasn't the solution. And praying to their gods wasn't the solution. Even praying to the one true God wasn't the solution. You see, an outward change isn't going to change anything. And they could throw every last ounce into the sea, but it wasn't going to change a thing. And they could pray to their false gods, they could pray to the one true God as long as they wanted, but nothing was going to change as long as there was still sin in that ship. You read of Achan and Joshua and how that Israel suffers this huge military defeat, and Joshua falls on his face to God and says, God, why have we suffered this defeat? And the Lord says, get up. I can't hear your prayer because there's sin in the camp. And that's the case which it was here. They could pray as long as they wanted. They could throw everything out of the ship. But as long as there was still sin in Jonah's heart, nothing was going to change. And it's the same way with us. We can change all we want on the outside, But if we don't change from our hearts, if we don't allow God to change us from our hearts, we'll just be throwing out those wares, just throwing out those goods. Still a sinking ship. May look better on the outside, may look to us like we've got a better chance, but we're still a sinking ship. And so there was nothing these men could do. They eventually got to the realization that, well, our only hope is to do what Jonah said. We've got to throw him overboard. And so that's the next choice, the sailor's choice. They had to make the choice to throw Jonah overboard. They had to get rid of the sin if they were going to ever have peace. And that's what they did. They took Jonah and sent him for his first ever deep dive into the ocean. And he has to walk the plank. And as soon as he hits the water, as soon as he lands in the ocean, the sea's calm. Absolute peace. That's incredible. And these men, well, there was no peace for them now. They were more afraid than ever. It says there, after they threw him into the sea, it says in verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. They are more terrified than ever now. If there was any confusion about the connection between Jonah and the Lord and this storm, well, it's pretty obvious now. As soon as Jonah was cast into the sea, there's absolute peace. But these men, they realize that this is a true God. This is a real God. And Jonah, ironically, he was a powerful witness here. I mean, he tells them about the true God. Unfortunately, because of his sin, he didn't get to witness to them any longer because he had to go overboard. But yet, these men realize that this is a true God, and now they're not at peace. They're troubled in their hearts, and they're worried. They say, none of our pagan gods can do what this God can. And so they offer sacrifices and make vows. And that shows just how serious they really were. Because it's so easy to make a vow, to make a promise to God in the middle of a storm. That's incredibly easy to do. But yet these men did that after the storm. Because they weren't doing it in the storm, and they didn't forget about it afterwards. That would have been very easy to do. Promise God anything in a storm, but then when he brings you through it, you forget all about it. But yet these men made that vow, made that promise to God after the storm, and showed that their hearts really were changed, and that they were going to serve the Lord. And so, in a sense, they have peace, but also they're terrified of this God. Their whole world had been turned upside down. But so had Jonah's, and his had been turned upside down many times over. Because as he had been thrown out of that ship, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. We don't know what this fish was, but either way, it was large enough to swallow Jonah. And he's turned upside down over and over again as he tumbles down into this whale's belly, or a great fish's belly. And so he's in this great fish, and that's where he's left. But yet, again, you see the Lord's mercy and his really forgiveness. Because this whale, this wasn't a judgment of the Lord. This was really a mercy. Now, it was a judgment to some degree. I mean, the Lord could have prevented Jonah from being thrown overboard at all. But yet, this whale saved Jonah from drowning. This whale was the one who kept Jonah from going under. And this whale was used by God to bring Jonah to a place of repentance. And God was working through all these things. He was working through the stopping of the storm. He was working in these men's hearts. But Jonah, he still has no peace. He has no peace because he's still running from God. And we don't know when. He does eventually repent. Some people say he didn't pray until the third day, until the third day of being in that fish. And Jonah, maybe he didn't even see the calm on the sea. He didn't see that. But the Lord is in control in every detail. Psalm 89:9 says, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Psalm 107:29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. The Lord's in control of everything. He controlled this fish. He controls all nature. He controlled the sea. And he's still controlling Jonah. He's still controlling Jonah's life. But Jonah's still... he's still unrepentant at this point. He's in the great fish's belly. He's still hiding from God. But yet eventually he's going to be brought to his knees. And even in the depths of the sea, God's still watching over him. He didn't allow him to perish. God still had a mission for him because he had chosen him. And God had chosen him to do his will, and God wasn't going to leave him without him having accomplished it. Because God loved Jonah way too much to let Jonah go his own way. And he loved Nineveh and the Ninevites despite their wickedness so much that he refused to destroy them without a warning. God's love is so evident. And this is the last point. You see, God's choice. God's choice again. And God made the choice not to disown Jonah, not to just let him perish in the sea. He made the choice to pursue after him. He had sent this fish a long time ago to follow this ship and had already prepared the way to get Jonah back to Nineveh. God made the choice to pursue after him. And the Lord loves us. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But resist the Lord and he'll pursue after you. The Lord, because he loves you that much, and he's not going to leave you alone. And so God's still in control, and Jonah's still going to accomplish God's will. But Jonah still has to be brought to the point of making that choice, making the choice to follow the Lord. And I wonder, what choice has the Lord set before you today? Now, it's easy to laugh at Jonah. It really is. I mean, this looks absolutely insane that he would run away from the Lord like this. I mean, the fact that he thought he could run away from an all-seeing God. But yet, running physically is just as crazy as running spiritually, because we can't get away from God any more than Jonah could. And we think maybe just because, well, we do it in our hearts and not outwardly, he can't see it. Well, that's not true. God knows our hearts. He knows our innermost thoughts. And so the Lord, he gives us a choice every day. He gives us the next choice to do. We've got a choice of whether we're going to do the right thing or the wrong thing. Rather, the choice to go in God's will or go away from God's will. And if you study God's word, if you're in God's word, you'll know the right choice. The Lord will make that clear. It's just the choice of whether we're to do it or not. And so the Lord gives us that choice. And the choices the Lord gives us, like Jonah going to Nineveh, they're not always pleasing. And they're not always comfortable. But that's part of doing God's will. We've got to do those things that aren't always pleasing, aren't always what we would choose. Doing God's will isn't always restful. I mean, Jonah got more rest in the ship than he probably would his entire time in Nineveh. That didn't mean he was in God's will. Just because he was sleeping didn't mean God was blessing him. Jonah was as far away from God as he could be, but yet the Lord was still chasing after him. And you're never so exhausted as when you're running away from God. Ministering to people, ministry in general is exhausting, it's tiring. But you're never so exhausted as when you're running away from God's will. And Jonah, he was running ragged trying to get away from God. And so make the choice to follow God's will. When he gives you that choice, make the choice to follow God. But maybe there's another choice you need to make. Maybe you say, I can't see God's will. I can't see the next step because there's some sin in my life. There's some sin that's holding me back. Maybe you need to get rid of a sin. Maybe there's a sin in your ship that you need to throw out. Lightening the ship, throwing out the wares isn't going to do it. Changing the outside isn't going to do a thing. Only a heart change will. Whether you're saved or you're unsaved, only a change from the heart is going to get you back in God's will. Maybe there's some sins in your ship. Maybe there's some friends in your ship that need to be thrown out, metaphorically speaking. Maybe there's some friends that you need to get rid of, some friends that you need to throw out. Say, these people are hindering me from my walk with God. If you can, try to be a strong witness among them, if they're saved or they're unsaved. But if you can't, then just leave them, because no friend, no sin is worth breaking fellowship with God. And Jonah was finding that out. He was finding that out more and more. At this point, he's still unrepentant. But what he had to do was he had to get rid of the sin. Is there a sin? Is there a friend you need to get rid of? And so there's another choice that we have to make. And you all know this already. We know that nothing is worth being out of God's will. But yet so often we still choose the thing. We still choose that. And we know that there are going to be consequences for our sin. But yet we weigh the sin and the consequences. And so often we choose the wrong thing. But whether the consequence is great or small, it's not worth being out of God's will. And no sin, whether the consequence is huge or small, no sin is worth broken fellowship with God. And whatever choice God's impressed upon your heart, don't shy away from it. Whether it's cleaning out something out of your life, whether it's just making the next step in God's will. Don't be afraid of that choice because it's for your good, and God can be glorified through it. Now, God would do an amazing thing through Jonah once he got right with God. He would do an incredible thing, an entire citywide revival. But he couldn't do that as long as he was selfish and sinful, living for himself. And so with that choice that you're presented, make your choice. Don't make it for yourself. Make your choice with God. Choose to do his will. And like Jonah, in the end, you'll be able to do an amazing thing for the Lord. Whether it's great or small, living in God's will is an incredible opportunity. And so don't run away from God's will. Choose his will. And you'll be better in the end. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this sobering reminder from Jonah. Thank you that, Lord, you pursued after him. You gave him a second chance, Lord, in the end. But Lord, so often we want to just ask your forgiveness for so often running from your will. Lord, we know you love us. We know you have our best interest in mind. But so many times we run away and, Lord, we try to seek our own, not the things which are Christ's. Lord, I pray that we would seek the things of you, Lord, that we would seek your will, that we would be in your will. Lord, help us not to run. Lord, you make the way clear for us if we follow you. You've already walked this way. So I pray that we would just follow you. And Lord, you'll keep us safe in your will. Lord, I pray that we would not follow Jonah's example in running, but Lord, that we would follow his in repenting. Lord, help us to come back to you and help us to follow on. Lord, I pray that you would bless in the morning service now all that goes on. Lord, just receive all the honor and glory from everything that goes on. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.